Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to episode 91 of the Player Player Podcast. Before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to the both old and new additions to our crew tuning in to listen to us do what we do. What's that, Arson?
Talk about video games.
That's right. Talk about video games. Every Thursday of every week, we gather around the virtual water cooler to discuss video games and the culture surrounding them. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. The Hoop Man, along with my co-host, the festive papa himself, Arson Lakpa.
Hey, guys. It's me, Festive Papa here. Just want to make sure you guys remember to order from festivepapas.com. We've got tons of merchandise. We've got party poppers. We've got froggy chairs, benches, you name it. Anything you want, I got it. I can get it, okay? I have a license, and I can get it for you.
He has a license.
I have a license. I can get it for you guys. So just go head over to festivepapa.com, but actually don't do that because I don't know where that'll lead you. And go ahead and order.
If it's actually a storefront, and don't buy anything from
there. Please don't buy anything from there. And if it's some weird website, please, I'm sorry. That's all I'll say is I'm sorry.
Okay, well, you know, we'll talk about Festive Papa and as well as Invested Traveler. I don't even know what the fuck my name is, but we'll talk about that a little bit later in our Animal Crossing themed episode. But before that, you know, in these tough times, let's check up on each other, see what's going on, see how our lives are doing, and then we can talk about the games that we've been playing. So, as always, I'll start with you. How's your life during this pandemic going?
Well, you know, man, it's going. Definitely, it's a double-edged sword working from home. You know, you enjoy being able to roll out of bed, hop into the couch or the, you know, your desk or whatever, and just start working. But, you know, productivity, you know, it's just not as high as it could be, you know, not as high as it could be, which, you know, a younger me, a less mature me would be like, ooh, I don't give a damn. But a more experienced me, the current me is like, damn, bro, I really want to get some work done, please. Yeah. I need to get myself, you know, in the zone, ready to work. And then it doesn't help when, you know, working as a software developer, you got people that you're waiting on. People that you're just waiting on shit to get done, and you're like, bro, I don't have any motivation to do anything else. Like, you know, other shit that could be done.
So while you're waiting,
I'm waiting, so I'm just like, ah, bro. So this week is, this quarantine period so far. It's not been going too well work wise. Other health wise, I think we're doing pretty good. We've got a lot of food here. Went out to the store. It was about 2 days ago. Just picked up some stuff. But yeah.
Practicing
social distancing. People be trying to get too close. I was like, whoa. You know, doing a little bit of, dodging. That was an audible dodge for you guys.
Dang, appreciate that.
Yeah, anytime, fellas, anytime. And I tried to stay as far away from people as I could. You know, I'd even use self-checkout. I didn't want to be up in anybody's face.
Always.
But yeah, I do that always anyway, so. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Like, it's been a very, like, chillaxed week. I can't even think of anything crazy that's happened other than, you know what happened this weekend. But, you know, we're going to talk about that, though.
We'll talk about it.
What about
you? Big releases. Me, dang, life has been just crazy. Just work in general is, you know, just going wild. They got me working day in and day out over at AWS Amazon. Jesus, you know what I mean?
Come on, Jeff.
We're getting through it. We're working on that promotion. So hopefully we get there soon. You know, it's working diligently, but the downside of the productivity thing, as you mentioned, like either you're not productive at all or you're too productive where because there's no clock in, clock out, you're in the office, you're out of the office, it's like, once you're working or if you have a ton of stuff to do, it's like, when do you stop? People keep asking me for stuff. Or like, we're still working on problems and stuff into the night, like way later than any of us, I think, would typically be working.
Right.
So that's a bummer. But we're going to get this thing in check. We're going to get this work-life balance in check because who knows how long we're going to be working from home. I'm definitely going to be working from home until at least mid-April. So.
Damn,
we're gonna get these things under wraps, under control here. And as far as personal life, you know, social distancing, staying in the house, basically going between my house, staying at my house most of the time, but also going to Amanda's place when I have time. Seattle got, you know, put under like the stay in place order, meaning don't leave unless you have to go to essential businesses, getting groceries, going to get medical help, stuff like that. So just crazy, crazy stuff. Fortunately for me, I'm kind of a recluse. I like to be a recluse, stay inside, chill. Same. For the most part. But I do miss like hanging out with friends, playing board games, going places, going to restaurants. That shit sucks that we can't do that. But we're passing the time with video games and actual work, but video games. So I guess I'll start us off here because I have a very, very exciting announcement to make. You know, not to be overshadowed by the Animal Crossing release and Doom release that took place last week.
Mm-hmm.
I beat Sekiro. I beat Ooh. The final boss.
Ooh.
I wrecked him. Destroyed. Like, I didn't, you know, roll the tapes back. Last week, I thought it was going to take me all year. I didn't know how long it was going to take me. Just because starting that last fight just really felt like, I just felt like I didn't know anything. Like, I've said this a million times for my Naruto fans out there, but it really feels like you need the Sharingan to beat this guy because you have literally seconds, not even seconds, fraction of a second to react to the smallest, like, minutiae in this character's animations. And you basically have to play the game perfectly because if you get hit once, that's half your health bar. You hit second time, you're dead. So, like, and this man is on your ass, too. So, like, it took me forever. It took me, I think, 2 to 3 days of just constant trying, just constant memorizing move patterns, looking for every single small tell in the move pattern to figure out what was going on. And, like, I ended up looking at, like, YouTube guides. And all the YouTube guys to beat this guy were like, oh, you have to cheese. Like, you can cheese him doing this way. So, it like, even seeing that made me feel even better that I was able to beat this dude without any items, just raw skill,
just talent,
and determination. So, I felt super awesome about that. Super glad to put that game behind me.
How many hours do you think it took you? Like, just for Ishin?
How many hours? So, including the hours that I put in before I picked the game back up, it probably took me, probably like at least 6 hours, if not eight or something. Because I know I spent at least 3, maybe 4 hours trying to beat this dude the first time. And I was just like, there's no way. And then coming back to it, it took me across, like I said, two to three days. And I spent maybe 1.5, 2 hours each day. So until I got him early the last day. So about 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours, bro.
That's pretty good. Definitely will take me longer if I do decide to pick the game up. But we'll see.
I mean, now that I finished him, you gotta get back in there.
I got to, or else I'll dishonor my family. They'll lose all their honor points. Family.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to be known as the family of the guy who couldn't beat that last guy in Sekiro. You know what I mean?
I know. That's just exactly what you mean, bro. I know.
Meanwhile, my family, proud.
Always proud.
Proud of me.
Yeah.
Proud of me.
You know, dude,
other than that.
I don't want to talk about that anymore, bro. You're kind of bringing down the vibes. You're making me think about my family.
I'm sorry.
You know, man.
I'm sorry. Damn, I'm sorry.
You got to make me put the pressures on. I'm about to pick up the sticks. I'm about to hop off the call right now.
Do it. I dare you. But no, don't do that. But yeah, other than that, been playing Animal Crossing, which we'll get to. We'll bundle up our initial impressions into that right after this update. But what about you? I know you're playing Doom.
Yes.
So you're going to give us your impressions on that and whatever else you're playing.
Yeah, I'm going to try to, keep it a little brief on my.
You said you got a lot. You said you had a lot to say.
I'm interested. It's, you know how I always say shit right before the podcast. And then I come on.
and then you're like, I don't know.
And then I'm done. But no. It's probably like a medium amount of information here. So as some people are doing out there in the big wide world. You know, I'm playing both Doom and Animal Crossing. I booted up, I think I booted up Animal Crossing first. Started playing through that. Just doing.
I think that's the right way to do it.
That's,
honestly,
that's the right way to do it. You know, you just have
because
to.
Of how Animal Crossing is built.
Exactly.
Gives you a perfect opportunity to do that.
Exactly. And so I thought personally that I was gonna either do it the other way around or definitely spend less time on Animal Crossing. But Animal Crossing got me sucked in. But you know, before we talk about getting sucked in Animal Crossing, I want to give my impressions on Doom. Doom Eternal, the hit sequel to Doom 2016. Which obviously came out in 2016. This one just came out March 20th. I had a blast when I first booted it up. However, I'm gonna lead with my I'll call them cons. It's like kind of a con, but it'll probably be resolved somehow. We'll see.
Sure.
I don't know what the hell's going on, bro. I'm gonna be honest with you. I boot up the game. Yeah. I mean, like, cause the way that the first Doom 2016 game, I don't know if you've either seen the ending or if you know what happens at the end. It just ends on a cliffhanger. I'm not gonna spoil.
Right.
Ends on a cliffhanger and you're like, whoa, okay, I'm ready for Doom Eternal. We're gonna pick back up. Doom Eternal pops you back in. They put you in some action and I'm like, whoa, okay, this is action, but like is this where we were? Like, and they're like, nah, bro, like this they don't give you any type of context. Like in the beginning, I'm like, why am I on Earth right now, bro? Like, I just got, we were on Mars before, so what's going on? So I have no idea what's happening. Then they just send you on a mission. They're like, yeah, you got to do this. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, there's no aspect. They're characters from the previous game that they're talking about. I just, am talking to a character from Doom 2016. But other than that, everybody else is like new. I don't know their purpose. Now I'm like, there's like some sort of like weird, like it's become even more of a genre bender. Like, you know, Doom 2016 was kind of like, you've got this, cyberspace, aspect to it. Then there's also like, you know, the demonic, you know, hellscape that you have as well.
Right.
Now we've got that same cyberspace, aspect. You got the demons. Then there's this also like weird, like cyber medieval aspect. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're telling me. What? Like, I'm just scratching my head the entire time. I don't know what the story is. I'm really hoping that throughout the course of the game, I'll be able to pick back, like, you know, maybe learn something. I just want to learn. So just give me one bit of information, one key takeaway that I can say, oh, yeah, I remember that one part when this happened. And that was crazy because, you know, it did a tie back, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
As for right now, there's nothing in here. Like, if I said something to you right now, you'd probably be like, bro, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Exactly. So. Other than that, that's probably like my biggest con, which I think, you know, like I said, will probably be explained maybe throughout the story. Other than that, the game is magnifique, bro. I'm playing it on the ultra-violence difficulty, which is definitely kicking my ass, but it is still a fun game. It still gives you more of that Doom experience from 2016, really raises your blood pressure as you're trying to just run your dodging, duck, dodge, dive, whatever.
Duck, dodge, oh, baby.
Ducking and dodging, diving, doing all that, trying to kill all these demons. You know, you've got this full arsenal in your hands. You're just killing, bro. Just always killing, and you're always moving. And I really like the addition of the new, mobility tools. Now you're able to dash around the map. I think you probably remember that from the demo we played at PAX. The meat hook. Meat hook is definitely a great addition from attached to one of their shotguns where you just like right click, you just sink the hook into somebody and you just like yank yourself towards that person rather than yanking them to you. It just like adds like all these new like crazy ass combos that you can do. Glory kills, of course, you know, that was like the bread and that was like the pride and joy of Doom 2016. They're back and better.
Right.
Now that we have new enemies in the game, that just means more animations, more just things that you just look at and you're like, oh, nah, bro, he did that. Like, why he didn't have to do him like that, bro? Like, some of the stuff, this man needs to be, like, locked up.
Not locked up.
He needs to be locked up. And speaking of locked up, we've got a place in the game. I don't think it's too much of a spoiler, so I will kind of touch on it. There is the Fortress of Doom. I don't fully know the history behind it, but this is, like, this is your new base. This is just for Doom Slayer. He's there. He's got the AI component from the first game. You guys are like basically teamed up trying to take on these demons. And the Fortress Doom is a hella nice establishment. It's got that medieval aspect to it. It's got the demonic aspect to it. And it's in space. So
it's
just out there, just like floating like right above Earth. it's a cool, like, it's just a cool area to, like, for you to explore and just see all these, like, different, like, you can find, like, different Easter eggs there. And the one thing that I really think that Doomslayer needs to be locked up for, this man has a whole entire prison in the basement of the Fortress.
Who's in the prison? Demons?
Demons, bro. He just got demons in there for sport, bro. It's sick. He's sick in the head. I'm like, sure, demons are evil. they're you know, they're yucky, they're gross. But this is wrong, bro. You don't need to keep them in prison, bro. You don't need to be fucking torturing them just so you can practice. They say, yeah, you can come down here and practice combos. I'm like, practice combos? What do you mean, combos? That don't make no... That's just... that's unethical. Other than that, one last thing. I do find it super funny that we have, like... I don't even know how to describe this, but the announcer kind of, like... if when you're walking through different levels, there's, like, people who are announcers, I guess. When they refer to demons, they say, nah, you can't say demons, that's like a slur. We call demons mortally challenged. And I'm like, okay, bro. All right, bro, y'all on one for this one.
Mortally challenged.
So from here on out, we're no longer referring to them as the D word. We're referring to them as their true title, mortally challenged.
Okay.
But yeah, that's pretty much Doom. I try not to get I mean I can't explain the story to you, so even if anything I could say wouldn't be a spoiler, but just know that the gameplay is fun, and if you do decide to finish up Doom 2016, once I finish the game, I'll tell you if you even need to finish 2016. Because right now, bro, you could have just hopped into this one.
Jump
like,
right into it. Like, I might. We'll see.
Because there's been so far no tie-in. Well, one tie-in, but like it's like not even important.
Okay. All right. Okay. We'll see. Yeah. Doom is like, it looks cool, but it's not exactly my cup of tea. So, which is why I haven't invested into it. And, you know, but we'll see. Maybe if the game library, the game queue is looking dry, maybe I'll pick it up. We'll see.
I think it's crazy too that Doom is not your cup of tea, but you're the one that got me. I bought it because of you.
Oh, right. The original 2016. I don't even know. Yeah, I like it, but it's not like something I'm super, super pumped about.
Right.
It's kind of just like a, hey, you know, we'll throw it on. We'll, like, it's a cool concept. And that was my first Doom as well. So, yeah, we'll see. This has been getting good reviews, though. So it sounds good to me. We moving on?
Yeah, let's go ahead and move right on. I think I've, talked your ear off about Doom, but we have a more pressing matter to discuss, man.
Before we get there, though, I have just two random things to say. One, shout out to the boy Brink, a avid supporter, always commenting on our Podbean videos. I don't know if you see that, but if you check
I've seen a couple of them.
Commenting all the time. My man is supporting us all the time, so shout out to him, always being helpful. Even commented last week telling us we left the fucking audio bit in.
Yeah, my bad, Brink.
Yeah, his bad, Brink, but we got it figured out. That shit was high-key funny, though. Like, when I listened back to it, I'm like, it's probably ass if you're just listening to this to listen to it, but when I listen to it, like, after we obviously record, I'm like, damn. It's like, all right, 1 second. I stand up, make some noise, leave for a little bit, come back, and I'm like, I'm like, all right, yeah, we'll just cut that out. All right, hey, everybody. These motherfuckers are like, what is going on?
What's going on?
It's funny. But, I mean, yeah, my man is always supporting, asking questions. He was asking it when we made a joke about Hamachi, you know, he was like, what the hell are y'all talking about? Y'all talking about that Tekken character? And I was like, I understand why you think that, you know what I'm saying? Because nobody really
needs to stop
Hamachi.
Y'all need to stop messing on Hamachi, bro. Come on,
Hamachi
Brink.
Versus Heihachi.
Brink, you need to look up Hamachi. You need to get educated, bro. Come on, man.
Dang, my man is educated. Second thing is, now that everybody's on quarantine, these people are making us look bad, bro. How they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're quarantined. We can't go to our podcasting studio, so we're just going to get our whole video set up within a weekend. And now everybody's running video. IGN's running video. Kind of Funny's running video. Kind of Funny's video setup looks good, too. I'm like, what are y'all doing, bro? If I could figure out how to do that, I would totally get us on that if I also had.
Are they on Skype or something? What's going on?
I think they're running on Discord, but they have like, it looks nice, bro. You gotta check out one of their current quarantine videos because the setup is looking nice. Might need to hit up Blessing Adeyoye Jr. to see what's going on over there. But yeah, that's just it. I just wanted to throw those two random things out there. So moving into the real topic, the real bread and butter, the thing everybody's been talking about for the past couple days, and that is Animal Crossing, okay? The game dropped. Everybody's in love with it. And, you know, there's a lot of different Animal Crossing types of people out there, a lot of Animal Crossing players. So what I wanted to do, instead of giving a simple, straightforward review, I wanted to play Pass the Sticks.
Okay.
Talk about a couple different aspects of Animal Crossing, give our opinions on that, and then at the end, we'll just give our complete, utter opinions on the game. But for the most part, just an overview for the people that have never played Animal Crossing, don't know what Animal Crossing is. It's just like you are a character, you create your own custom character, you give them a name, and you are dropped on this island. You get to name the island, and it's all about, you know, building up your island, industrializing your island, building up your house, collecting resources, getting villagers to move onto the island, and just evolving that experience over time. And it's a good time. It's very relaxing, very fun, very unique. A lot of cool small details that make the game super special, which I love. And apparently a lot of other people are loving as well. But with that, Arson, we're talking Pass the Sticks. First concept in Animal Crossing.
Yes.
The real-time gameplay clock. So what I mean by real-time gameplay clock, the time in the game is synced up via the internet to the actual time in the world. So it's 8 p.m. right now in Seattle. It'll be 8 p.m. in the game. It's even synced up to your hemisphere. Once you select your hemisphere, it's synced up to that as well.
They know the season.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So, yeah, it's like your seasons are going to depend on your real-life game. There's no speed up. There's no rushing the game throughout the days. You are essentially gated by the day, and you're forced to move at the pace of an actual day. How do you feel about that, Arson?
I like it, but I also don't like it. I like being able to feel like, you know, I'm living like a regular old life. Like on the weekend, for example, when I spent entirely too many hours playing the game, seeing the sky actually get dark as it was getting dark outside was like super. That was cool to see. That was just like a fun thing. The only real thing that I don't like about this, the whole day night cycle, is the fact that some of the impacts that it has on your actual island. Like, for example, just the fact that we have to, I don't know, man. I wish that, you know, having to wait, you know, a whole entire day to do X and Y thing.
Yeah.
You know, that for me kind of like I don't really like it. Like, I like being able to, let's say I wanted to grind out, I don't know, maybe I want to build 1, 2, 3 houses right now and then stop. Right. Cool. Then I can do that. I have the ability to do that. I don't want to have to wait 3 actual days for that. Like, that's kind of where, like, you know, I like want to push back on this whole day and night cycle, like actually syncing up to a real life clock. Obviously, you know, we can exploit that by changing the date on the Nintendo Switch, but I'm just like, bro,
oh, we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that as well. I know, but, I don't really vibe with that whole system too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause like, especially coming from, like, you know, I love Minecraft. I think Minecraft is like definitely like the example that I like to look at when it comes to these types of more relaxing world building games.
Right.
Make Animal Crossing like Minecraft, bro. If we take out the real life day night cycle, I'd be fine with it. So for me, I would have to pass the sticks. On day night.
Okay, Pass the Sticks on the real-time gameplay clock.
Real-time gameplay clock, yeah.
Okay, so me, I definitely feel your pain on a lot of that. However, I'm keeping the sticks. I like the real-time gameplay clock for a couple reasons, because one, it's like a unique concept. Like, not many games that I've played, at least, have this concept where it's like literally you are tied, like your game is essentially tied to the real world in some aspect where, like you said, sun rises and falls with your actual day. Like, then again, I don't know how daylight savings time and stuff is going to factor in down the road, but I think it's really cool that, like, they want you to play, like, and I understand that this game has come out and the game is so good that we want to go and go and go and put more time into it and put more time into it. So I'm with you where the first 7 days of the game are way too slow, because, like, they're literal, like, I get it, you know. They have the houses you build. They want you to take it slow, but there are literal days where there's nothing to do. There's even one day where they're closing down the residence center.
See, I don't like that.
So you can't do anything. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that, and I wish it best case, like, there were more random things to do. Like, sure, like, we can progress the story slowly at their pace, but I wish there were more random things to do on the island, more random encounters to have in the first couple days, because I know after these 7 days it's not going to matter. Like, once we unlock mostly everything and it's all about customizing the island, we're not going to care. But the first 7 days are brutal, especially that middle chunk that most of us are at right now.
We're in it.
Right. But the thing that I like about it is, if done correctly and if everything works as expected, and we do get to this, like, everybody wants to push because the game just came out. We're all addicted to it. But if we get to this point where we're accepting of, all right, there's nothing happening today. I don't really need to play the game today. I can log in. I can do a couple things. And then I can go about my life. Like, if we can accept that, then I really think the game benefits from this, like, day-night cycle, this real-time in-game days. Because, like, as you go through the year, you'll experience the different seasons in the game. You'll experience these special events that, if you're used to just checking into the game like it's an iPhone app or something like that and spending a couple hours here each day, I think that's really fun. And it'll be really cool when you're, like, building your community, when you have a ton of online friends where you can just send them a message if they're online, come visit somebody's town, play around for a bit, like, enjoy the seasons, catch special things as the year goes on. And like, if everybody doesn't get burnt out in the first month, I think it's going to be awesome come December, come fall, when we're all still, like, checking in and hanging out on the weekends every now and again. I think that'd be lit. Hmm. So, the concept, because I want to play this game until December. Like, I want to see the winter games. I want to see, like, the summer updates, that. All that good stuff. So, and like, having it be like, oh yeah, we're all basically on the same cycle where it's like, okay, we're all on day 7, and we're still all kind of in the same place of our islands, is kind of fun to experience that, knowing that we're all kind of in the same area, but we're all seeing different stuff. So I'll keep the sticks, and, you know, it'll depend on, like, you know, a month from now where we're all at, if we're still playing Animal Crossing, whatever. But in theory, I like it. And even though the first 7 days are slow, I think once we get past that, it'll be awesome going forward.
I think I have one more point on the real time of day clock. I agree with you, like, completely, like, with the, like, having, being able to sync it up just for the fact of, like, you know, being able to experience different, I guess, dates and events and stuff like that. However, I just personally don't like the limitations the limitations of what Mr. Tom Nook can do in a day. You know, he's telling me it's gonna take him a whole entire day to build a house. Bro, I build tables like 15 seconds, bro, and you're telling me you can't build a house in like 30 minutes? Like, come on. Like, if the time scale for some of the items were less than a day, then I think we're on the same page here. We're just kind of have this.
Just that this early game is hard. This early game is tough. But, like, once we have So, like, once we have all the tools to our disposal, where we don't care if a bridge takes a day to get built because we have so many other things to do, or we're, like, to the point where it's like, okay, we have everything we need, and we're just checking in to do small mods every now and again, like, I think it'll be okay. But, yeah, I totally agree, like, being like, okay, I need to make all this furniture and say I only did one furniture per day. This cycle is literally going to take me 2 weeks to get past the intro of the game, essentially, which is just uncalled for. But I think I understand what they're getting at.
Where, yeah, I get it too.
Like, if there were no limitations and everybody kind of just binges through it, you have some people that binge through it, you have some people that don't within that first 2 weeks or stuff. Like, I feel like the retention for the end game, for most casual people, would probably be way lower, because if you're binging through it, like, you're not, you most people wouldn't care to go and wait till winter to experience, you know, the winter content, right? If your days are going by faster. So I think it's a really interesting gameplay decision. I'm sure they had, like, spent a lot of time thinking about this, and hopefully it pays off. So far, you know, it's tough, but I'm enjoying the cycles. But we'll see.
I mean, isn't like a new concept though? I don't think, right? In Animal Crossing history, I'm pretty sure they probably had something like this in probably most of the games, right?
But I thought in the original games, if you went to sleep, the day would progress. Am I wrong on that? I might be. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you might be right. I didn't have it. I think I played it on emulator, but you might be right about that.
I had it on the Nintendo GameCube, so it's been a really long time. But I could be wrong that if you went to sleep, the day progressed. But I don't know. I don't remember it being on a real-time clock, but I might be wrong. So,
anyways,
yeah. Moving on to the next one. We already said, you know, you had pass the sticks, I had keep the sticks, but we are, for the most part, on the same page. Next concept is farming for resources. So, in this Animal Crossing, a new concept is that you're literally going around the island, banging on rocks, banging on trees, you know, harvesting fruit. Like, a lot of this stuff was already in Animal Crossing, but more than ever now, you're collecting resources to build tools, and build items in the game. And it's basically Minecraft Lite at this point. So how do you feel about the resource gathering aspect and kind of that building aspect?
Well, I definitely like it. I don't know. I guess I always thought that something like this type of crafting was always kind of available in Animal Crossing, but I guess not. Yeah, I like it.
I could be wrong again.
No, I actually don't think you're wrong. I think it might have been, you just have to, like, buy tools or, like, have them handed to you. And also, they didn't break or anything like that. But for me personally, I don't really care too much about that. I've played enough games like Minecraft, like Breath of the Wild, to where that shit doesn't even faze me anymore. I know, like, a lot of people, especially, like, when...
Tool degradation.
I know, especially when Breath of the Wild came out, people were livid. They were going apeshit. They were like, whoa, my sword. It's gone.
Yeah.
They were just like that, you know, in a matter of minutes, maybe, depending on how active you were getting. And the same thing can happen in this game, too. If you're getting active on those bugs, bro, your net's gone. Mm-hmm. But I do like the ability to, you know, kind of like strengthen your net, make it, you know, make it a little bit stronger.
A good net.
Yeah. And I think, don't quote me on this one, but I feel like, maybe this was in, I read somewhere that in like some of the older games, like there were even like a higher tier net, but I don't know if like that was for the sake of crafting, that you would have to craft it. I'm not an Animal Crossing expert, guys. Please don't.
We're just talking about this current game, bro.
Yeah, we're just talking about the current game.
Okay. Any information we say about that before this game, it don't fucking matter.
It don't matter.
We're just trying to fill the time, you know what I'm saying? We're trying to make comparisons.
But yeah, just like to make a long story short, I like the crafting system. I think it's super cool having to go out and kind of like forge for these resources. Definitely adds like another task to your plate, with a task that I don't mind. I think, you know, kind of like breaks up the other like monotonous tasks that you have. You know, you may be thinking, okay, I just want to make money, so I am just going to get fish. I'm just going to do this. Well, now I'm adding it to my routine where I'm like, you know what? fucking, let me just go around and like just get some like tree branches every once in a while, just so that way I'm like, bro, you know, stocked up, ready to go.
I'm not even playing. The first like 2 days, sorry, I just fucking ate the mic. The first 2 days, I think I played the game like on the second day and the third day. So I guess first 3 days. The second day and the third day, I literally went around my island and I hit every tree for wood, bro. Every tree, both days. It took me like an hour. Oh, maybe not an hour, 30 minutes to an hour each day. I don't know why the fuck I did this. By the time we reached the fourth day, I was about to do it. Halfway, like 5 minutes in, I was like, the fuck am I doing, bro? I have so much wood. Am I on, like, it was literally like I felt like I was on a farm and I was like, well, it's 8 a.m., you know, and I got stuff to do. First thing to do is hit all the fucking trees, you know. First thing to do is hit all the trees. And I don't know how I got that in my head, but I'm like, I'm a slave to the grind now. But, yeah, I'm with you. I'm sorry. Do you have more? I'm sorry. I kind of cut you off there.
No. That's pretty much it. I'm definitely will keep the sticks on the crafting system.
Yeah, so I think I'll also keep the sticks. I think they've done a good job. Like, it's a nice balance where there's not too many resources. Things aren't too plentiful. There's a ton of wood, but there's also like a scarcity of iron to an extent, a scarcity of clay to an extent. Even like when we're talking bamboo and like kind of the other materials that you need, kind of gets a little tougher. But I like the idea of collecting resources, building things, because one, you kind of can take crafting and designing things into your own hands, and you don't have to like worry about the money system to get everything you want. But also, it's kind of like, hey, like if you don't have anything to do, if this is a slow day, like you said, you can say, hey, I want to make some tables. Hey, I want to, you know, prep resources for the next day. I want to do whatever. And it's pretty relaxing to go around, cut down all these trees, replant these trees, like gather this wood, gather these rocks, you know, all that good stuff. So, I mean, Minecraft does it better, I believe. But... I like it. I think it's a cool aspect to the game, so I'll keep
it. It's a good attempt from Nintendo into the, you know, the crafting world.
Crafting genre, yeah.
I don't think, you know, Breath of the Wild didn't have crafting. I mean, it had cooking, but that doesn't really count.
Yeah, no crafting.
This is Nintendo's first crafter.
Yeah.
Unless the other Animal Crossing did it, but then again, we're not talking about old Animal Crossing.
Nope. New
Animal Crossing. It doesn't even exist. This is the first Animal Crossing game ever.
What a new novel concept that they're doing, this game, this new IP Animal Crossing. okay, island versus town, all right? And the previous, this is the first Animal Crossing game ever, you know, as we just said. Yeah. But also, you have a island, which is very interesting that they didn't choose to do a standard city town. And also, it's a deserted island, so you start bare bones, and you start building this island up over the course of the game. So what's your take on the island?
I like it. You know, I'm gonna have to do a little pros and cons here, because there are I definitely like being on an island. I think that's like it automatically. When I think island, I'm thinking, you know, vacation. I'm thinking
getaway,
like, you know, beach, getaway, turn up, and I'm just relaxing, right?
Right.
You know, having to do all this work on the island is obviously not relaxing, but it's whatever. When I think town, obviously, you know, I'm thinking I gotta go to work, I gotta do this X, Y, and Z, blah. Mm-hmm. Kind of, so I definitely think I prefer island over town. And I like what they give us. I like kind of like the little setups that they give us. I do wish that it was a bit, maybe I'm just, you know, a little salty about my island choice, but I don't like how, like the difference in the elevations on the island, you know, like in a real, we're talking real world here, because, you know, obviously Animal Crossing is supposed to emulate real life. Why are there so many cliffs on my island, bro? You telling me there's no way to get up the island without having a ladder?
It's rough,
like,
man.
I gotta have a ladder, bro. Like, I understand maybe having to, you know, do some acrobatics to cross the river, but you're telling me there's no like little foothill like to get up like
none
up the hills, nothing.
We it's have all 90 degree
90
angle.
Degree vertical ass walls, bro. And you like what? And I can't access this until my fourth day on the island. Like, I'm sitting here trying to explore. What do you want? So, I mean, obviously, at this point, I have already accessed the ladder. I've seen everything on the island. It's pretty.
Yeah.
it's definitely a nice island. I think some of the, like, I wish it maybe it was generated a little bit better. Because it seems like some areas just seem a little awkward. And I think that's in, like, the older games that don't exist. I think that in those games, the towns are, like, shaped better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know. I think you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm going to have to the jury's still out on the island. I do, like, everything you said I correspond with about the getaway and just, like, the vibe of being on an island. And I like how just like the island theme just feels super nice. And I think it adds to that relaxing feeling to the game. So I love that part. Just like the thing about the island is I'm like, it seems kind of small at times. Like when I travel my island every day and like gather resources, I'm like, I just can't imagine how the city's going to look a month from now. Like, I don't know how things are going to be laid out, especially when I took up a whole wing of the island to put fucking fruit trees to try and make some money because I'm trying to hustle out here.
Got to take them hoes down.
Exactly. So I'm just like, I don't know. But I'm holding out because, one, it could be really nice once people start moving in and we have a couple more buildings constructed. But also, late game, spoiler alert, I don't know if you knew this, but you do get like a terraforming tool, so you can like, the thing about like your awkward looking islands and all that stuff, or your awkward looking areas and stuff, you can reform all of that stuff. I do know, I have seen like there are bridges, there are stairs, there are all that good stuff to add to your island to make it exactly how you want it. So I'm really looking forward to that. And once we start evolving and adapting and being able to make bridges and stuff, I probably won't care too much about the island. It'll probably turn out to be all right, but right now I'm kind of like, meh, it's fine. Like I like the vibe of it, but like the actual space itself, I'm like, it'd be cool if it was bigger, but then if it was bigger, it'd probably be too big. I wouldn't want to travel the whole island every day. Like there's a number of things. So
but you wouldn't be forced to travel the island every day. You could have the option to just say, you know what, today I'm just gonna, you know, stick to this side of the island. Tomorrow,
right,
you know, and then when the need arises, potentially you could, you know, say, I don't know, we need more villagers on the island. You put them out in the boonies, maybe, you know, different things like that. I don't know. Just food for thought, a little bit of speculation for Animal Crossing New Horizons 2, the second game in the Animal Crossing IP.
Okay. Also about the island, talking about space, like people who have multiple accounts on the same Switch can only share the same island. How does that affect things? Now that Angelique, apparently just like the whole multiple accounts on one Switch thing is completely fucked in terms of like story progression, all that stuff is not that great because the experience is tied to the main account.
Yeah.
How does it feel having like you and Angelique on the same island? Is it fine?
I think it's fine due to our differing, you know, levels of experience / I guess like joy for video games. You know, she likes video games just a little bit. So, you know, she's fine with, you know, hopping on, being like kind of like being like that player two on the island. She likes to play, you know, at like play as her character, not as like the follower character when you're playing locally. She likes to play as her character, but not as like doing, you know, island stuff, like story-wise stuff. She's just there trying to have a good old time in Animal Crossing, fishing, bug catching, you name it, making money, stuff like that.
Right.
She's just, you know, very easygoing. I think that, you know, things may have been not like obviously not tense or anything, but it would have been a little bit less fun for the both of us had we both wanted to, you know, have the same experience as being like the resident representative for the island. Basically being Tom Nook's like butt buddy, basically. I think things would have not been as fun for us. But for me, I think like our situation is unique enough where we're having a good old time. I think the whole entire like sharing one island thing, I think it's kind of bunk. Like I feel like Nintendo, we have the technology,
absolutely, bro.
Like is it that hard?
I remember people were like saying, oh, yeah, they're doing this to prevent cheating or something. But now that the game's out, I'm like, prevent cheating. People don't know, like, you can time skip. You can time travel. Like,
they were about the wrong cheating.
Exactly. Like, why? Like, why is having two islands on the same Switch an issue?
Yeah, wait. How would that even be cheating, bro? Like, what would you do? Like, would you be able to visit your like somebody's island, but they're not even playing the game?
So, I guess like you could go to somebody. Yeah, I don't know.
Make any sense.
I don't know why they made this decision. Honestly, I don't know what the logic was.
And they would only
maybe they're like, ooh, it'll be so fun.
It wouldn't even have to be that many. It's because it's only four. You only have up to like four people. Well, no, I think you can have up to eight people on your island. So,
yeah.
Technically, you would need to have space for eight islands. but they could easily do like kind of what they're doing for the local play is that they only let four people like play locally. Like if you're on one console. So they could do that and then, you know, keep the online aspect the same where you can have up to eight people visiting or seven people visiting your island.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, bro.
I don't know. I think Nintendo once again has fucked up their multiplayer. Yeah, we've got added to the list. Mario Tennis Aces.
Yep.
Even Smash. We'll put Smash.
Smash
in there.
Ain't that great either.
Splatoon 2. Their whole entire online app, bro. I don't know. Do we have time to talk about that? Maybe after we
that's for another day.
That's another day. Okay.
Yeah, that's another day. I mean, I will say that, you know, we'll add it to the end.
Okay.
Moving on. Nook Mile Islands. So these are basically these special islands where you can spend your Nook Miles, which is like a secondary form of currency in the game. You get these tickets and it takes you to a random island where it could be, oh, there's a non-native fruit on this island that you can collect. Or, oh, this is just like a regular island. Or, oh, there's tarantulas littered on this island. Or, oh, there's money rocks on this island. There's literally a handful of different options for these islands. How do you feel about the Nook Mile Islands?
I personally like the concept. I think it's an amazing concept. Execution, however, I don't think it is as great. I think, you know, it has the potential to be rewarding. But not all the times. Like, you know, sometimes you just go to an island and you're just like, bro, this island is dead. Like, actually just dead. Like, not in a good way with tarantulas running around. Like, that's good dead. This, like, I'm sure, like, okay, ooh, I've got a couple of apples here. Or maybe, like, I've been a good number of these Nook Mile special islands. At least, like, I don't know, a good majority of them have been the same like fruit that is on my island.
Yep.
And I'm like,
absolutely.
can there be some type of programming in there to like, you know, kind of maybe prevent that? Like shouldn't they know like what your island like fruit is to maybe like,
I mean, know?
I don't know.
I guess they're doing it on purpose, you know, just so like, I think they're trying to, the game is so easy, but I feel like in ways they're kind of trying to make it seem like it's a little more difficult, where it's like, oh, sometimes we'll get a rare island and like when you get this island you'll be excited because it's the fruit that you don't have, and like, oh, because I mean, I think they're trying to be like, oh, like some of these islands are just normal islands, but then you'll get a good island and it'll get you excited. So I think they're trying to balance it that way.
But like, I see like, you know, I consider an island without a regular island, let's say, that just doesn't have my fruit, that should still be considered a normal island. Just take my island's fruit out of the rotation. That's all I'm asking for. Let me get something more valuable. I think that shouldn't be considered like rare or like super, ooh, like enticing. I think the base standard should be, okay, you will either, I'll say you may either get bamboo or you'll get an island with a fruit that's not native to your island. Cause it just doesn't, it just kind of makes it seem cause you're spending 2,000 of your own.
I think it's like you're gambling. I think it's just like the stock market, where it's like you don't know where you're gonna end. You don't know where you're gonna end up. You could end up at some bunk ass island that only has fucking pears or whatever your fruit is, cherries or whatever, and you're just like, this is lame. Or you could end up on Tarantula Island and you can be like, this is terrifying, but I'm about to be rich.
That's true. Now putting it that way, I can see that. Yeah, having that gamble though, that does add a little spice to the game, a little flair.
It does. That being said, I'm not gonna say hate. I don't. At first couple days, Nook Mile Islands were my favorite part of the game. I loved going to the new islands, seeing where I was gonna end up, seeing like meeting people on the islands. Same. But after a couple days, that all went away because people stopped showing up. After day three, you invite everybody to your island, people stop showing up, and half the islands, I feel like, are just the same configuration. Like, I really wish they would have put, it seems like they have maybe 10, 15 islands rotations going on. And it's just like a random number generator of which ones you're going to get. I wish there was like 50 islands where it's like,
yeah,
everybody's finding the tarantula island. I wish nobody, I wish it took like at least a week or two for somebody to be like, holy shit, guys,
I got to this.
There's a tarantulas all over this island or something like that. Like, I wish, just like given the terrain editor tools that they have, I wish they would have like put at least 30, 40 islands. And, you know, granted, I don't know how many there are, but I definitely have seen very similar islands after only playing for like 4 days. So hopefully, I know they're not going to do this shit because they never patch anything, never add any content.
But we are on, it is an online enabled game. You know, if you look, it has like the version number in the top. So there's a chance.
That's true. That is true. That is true. But
we'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully they add more islands. I really, really would love that.
They'll probably prioritize, I feel like they'll probably prioritize more like any glitches or unwanted behaviors that they.
Sure. Sure.
Speaking of, let me bring up one little quick little glitch I just saw. I don't know how legit it is, but I saw one on Twitter maybe about like 30 minutes before we hopped on this call. But apparently you can hop on either with a buddy, like through online, I guess, or like, you know, local play. You have to have it has to be two people. You can basically duplicate items.
I saw somebody talking about that, but I didn't see how, but
you put an item on the ground, right? And then you put, I guess, the item that you want to duplicate on top of that. Because, you know, you can, like, stack items and shit. And you have one person just rotating the bottom item, which, you know, obviously will rotate the whole entire configuration or whatever. And just have the other person just pocket while it's rotating. And for some reason, it won't put it in there. It won't, like, actually pocket it. And so it'll
How do you rotate a... Is this in the home?
This is just outside.
How do you rotate an item outside?
You hold down, you stand next to it. You know, like if you were about to push it.
Oh, uh-huh.
Instead of like pushing in the direction, you push like either like a direction left that is like perpendicular.
Oh, wow.
And that's how you rotate.
Interesting. Wow. So I wonder if you're a game developer with a currency system, is the worst thing to find out that you have a item duplicating glitch.
You're probably just the like, worst thing. Fuck, bro.
You're like, oh my they hacked God, me. The fuck.
I spent all this time on the shop, bro. I spent 13 hours working on this shit. Days, I even. Know.
Damn, that's sad. But speaking of exploits, time skipping. So essentially, there's this big controversy. There's the time skippers and the non-time skippers. Pretty much in the Animal Crossing world. And time skipping is basically going offline and changing your game switch clock, your Switch console clock, and playing the game offline to progress the game faster. Like we mentioned before, it takes a long time to get through those opening days. So if you're not trying to wait, if you just want to get it all at once, you time skip. But a lot of people see that as cheating. Because you're basically just kind of breaking the developer experience, like did I just have a stroke? The design experience of the is that a symptom of Corona? No, the design experience of the game. You know, so a lot of people say you're cheating because it's like it helps you get more money, helps you progress faster. Whereas the people that don't time skip are kind of just left waiting. Thoughts on time skipping. Have you time skipped yet?
I have not time skipped yet. I don't plan on it. Okay. I want to keep it, you know, nice vanilla and pure. But, you know, maybe one day I'll just get to a tipping point where I just scream out loud and I say, I can't take it, and I'll skip. But I mean,
if you're not skipping now, I feel like you're good. Like, I feel like these are probably the most trying times.
That's true. Because, like, what's the point after, like, a month?
Exactly. I'm going to call out Matt, of course.
Oh, always call out Matt.
Matt, you know this man. How many times have we called out Matt on this fucking podcast? Probably too many. You know this man, Matt, was like, he's like, hey, yeah, I just got a time skip. And me and Jonathan were like, don't do it, Matt. Don't do it. And Jonathan was like, if you do it once, you never go back, Matt. You never stop. It's like an addiction. Once you become a time traveler, you're always a time traveler. Matt was just like, I'll just do it once. And we're like, okay. And the next thing you know, I'm like, Matt's like, oh yeah, my resident services is being built. We're like, Matt, it's day three. How's that possible? He's like, I don't know. You know, I just, all my villagers moved in on the same day for some reason. We're like, Matt, we understand. You're skipping time.
You don't need to lie about
terraforming. I'm like, yeah, you don't have to lie to us, Matt. We already know you're a time traveler. So you already have your badge of shame. But, yeah, what are your thoughts on the time skipping paradox? I think you already said, you know, you're not doing it. Personally, I'm also not doing it. I'm trying to stay devout to the time clock in the game.
Nice.
And I really like the fact that we all are somewhat in sync in terms of progression. So every time we get on and we talk about the game, we're all kind of like, oh yeah, somebody else moved in. Oh yeah, somebody else moved in. Or like, oh yeah, we're doing this today. I got the ladder today. And we may be one day off or so, depending on the pace we're progressing. But I feel like once you start time skipping, then you have like one person or a couple people who are like, hey, yeah, I'm like terraforming now, when everybody else is like just now, you know, getting certain features. And it kind of like ruins
it's just
the
not
community
right, bro.
Experience. You know what I'm saying? Kind of ruins the community experience. But I've come to the terms of just like, let me just enjoy my island. Let me enjoy like my time on my island. I'm not trying to rush, and you know, I'll accept the time travelers. They can do as they like, but there's always the asterisk on the name. You know what I mean? I'll pass the sticks on time skipping.
Yeah, definitely passing the sticks. I don't think it's a very like, it's like in Cuphead, you know. You got the you make it's almost like making a deal with the devil, you know. You know, we got all these
great
in Cuphead. I will not make the same mistake that Cuphead made, because if you've seen Cuphead gameplay, I don't want to go through that, bro. Nobody,
absolutely. Who does?
Yeah, absolutely not. You have to be Matt if you to go through that. So, yeah, definitely passing the sticks here as well.
Okay. Let's see how much time we have on the clock here. We're running late. Oh, boy. We really ran through that. So, I guess the last thing is should we save the Nintendo app, or do you want to go a little later and just get it in?
I'm sorry. You broke up a little bit.
You want to talk about the Nintendo app, or do you want to save that for another time?
Let's save that for another time, because like just as maybe like a, you know, brief little opening thing. It's not like, you know, it's not important.
Okay. So to honor our 1 hour commitment, we're going to go ahead and do the player of the game now. Like Animal Crossing as a whole, I guess I'm loving it. I'm excited to continue playing. I'm excited to experience the seasons through the game. Hopefully I don't fall off. And I'd say I give the game a 9 out of 10. The one docked point would be kind of the really slow early game stuff. So that's my overall opinion. What about you, Arson? Overall opinion.
You broke up like.
Sorry. What's your overall opinion on the game?
Overall opinion on the game. I'll probably have to stick kind of in that same like high ballpark of like around like a 9-ish. I think for me it may be like a low 9 right now, due to all the waiting that we're having to do, but as the game progresses, I think that it'll only, you know, go up, and like I don't think it'll get worse for me, like, you know, it'll definitely, you know, keep getting better and better as I get more exhibits in the museum, as we get just more buildings in the town, more residents.
Oh,
I think it's
yes.
gonna get lit.
Yeah. Museum's fucking incredible, by the way. That is
best.
Awesome.
Best.
That is awesome. But moving on, because we'll talk about Animal Crossing more in the future, I assume. Let's go to our player of the game, where we highlight a player or a person that's doing some cool stuff in the community of gaming. And as always, this month we're highlighting women. And the woman I'm picking this week is a little person by the name of Anissa Sanusi. I think that's how you say her name, Anissa Sanusi. And she is a UX designer, and she also is the organizer of a London-based mentorship program aimed at people of underrepresented genders in the game industry. And the reason I found her on Twitter was that she made a really good post about Crunch in response to like the Naughty Dog Crunch article that came out. And was basically like, yeah, well, this is not okay. We got to make sure to call this stuff out. Blah, blah, blah. Like, take it from me. I'm in the development space and I know how this goes. So, like she posts some really good content, all around UX stuff, trying to post job opportunities and all that good stuff, as well as, gaming tweets as well. So go follow her on Twitter at Studio Anisa, Studio STUDIO.
Drop her a follow, folks.
ISA. Go ahead and follow her, man. Go ahead and show her some support there. So with that, that's our episode today, guys. Thank you for listening to this Animal Crossing themed episode of Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes and tell your friends about us. If you want updates about future episodes or giveaways, or you just want to submit a question to the show, visit us at playerplayerpod.com, or preferably just tweet us at playerplayerpod or to our personal Twitters. Big shout out to my boy, as always, for the intro music, Aaron Miller. You can follow him at The Miller Child on Instagram. You can follow me on social media at The Hoop Man. And you can follow my co-host here, Arson, as LeakyLeak13 on Twitter, or Arson Lakpa on Instagram. With that, guys, keep gaming.
Game on.